Good morning. I'd like to bid you a hearty welcome to this morning's worship service. My name is Jeff Hildebrand. If we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well, and we trust that you will be blessed this morning. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." As we look into God's word this morning, we want to consider the importance and significance of standing firm in our faith. We need to stay the course. We need to speak the truth, and I trust that the Lord will speak the truth through me this morning. I want to thank you for coming this morning, and before we get started, let's unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you that you have provided salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, for mankind. And yet we know so many people are following the world. They are going after worldly things. And Lord, we just trust that each one of us here today has opened our hearts, that we follow you, that we trust you, and that we love you, and we've accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior. And if there is someone here that has not done that at this point, we would ask that you would soften those hearts, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we are in an ever-changing world. We see so many things that have changed in the past few years and past many years. But you are unchanging. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you for being with us in a very special way through your Holy Spirit this morning. We ask, Father, that you would place a hedge of protection around the sanctuary, around the Sunday school, that Satan and his forces would be rebuked at every corner. And Father, that we would be open-minded and open-hearted to receive your word. So we ask you, bless everyone that has come, everyone that is watching, and also, Father, that you would bless the Sunday school teachers and the students as well. So we thank you for your love that you extend upon us each and every day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. And at this time, I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 390. Must I go on empty-handed? 390.
Must I go on empty-handed? Does my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service given. What?
Take time to be holy. 361.
I want to thank you for that playing and that singing. Take time to be holy. When we look at that, it's so important. And we need to address what's going on in this world. And we as a people, we certainly need time with our Lord to get proper direction in this very unique time in history. I want to start this morning in the book of Psalm, the very first chapter. It's got six verses. And it depicts two different lifestyles, so to speak. So we'll be starting in Psalm 1 at verse 1. So the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So when we look at a person like that, it's a pretty positive encouragement for us. This is how we are supposed to be. This is how we need to express our love for God. We avoid ungodly scenarios, ungodly counsel. And how do we know how to do that? How do we discern the truth from false teachers and false teaching? There are many, many false teachers in this world, and we need to have discernment. We need to understand how important the Holy Bible is. We will only learn and discern if we read the Scriptures. We are going to learn and discern if we gather and fellowship with other believers. The most important tool we have is that the gift we've been given by God, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directs us to all truth. And when we want to find truth, we can go to God's Word. And so my encouragement this morning is that is exactly what we do. In verse 4, it talks about the ungodly. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, or in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So let us discern. If we want to go to heaven, what do we need to do? It's very clear that the Scripture says that we need to believe in Jesus Christ and repent of our sin. And then many other things will follow once we've taken that step of repentance. There's going to be life-changing things that we will do. And those are all very positive. But we need Jesus Christ to get to heaven. He is the truth and He is the way. He's the only way to heaven. If you want to follow the world, that's a decision that is up to you, and you can make it. But that decision is going to lead you down to one path, and that path is straight to hell. That's why discernment is so important. You can turn your radios on, or your television on, or you can look up social media, and you can see many different things being taught and preached. Make sure you're following a biblical teacher. There's not all just false teachers out there. There are some very good teachers. But we need to be able to discern. Sometimes we have to go a little bit further and dig beyond what is just presented sometimes by this individual. The Bible is very clear how important discernment is. And we're going to look at that a little bit deeper when we go into the second half of the message. We're going to look at an Old Testament situation. However, before we get there, I would invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we want to go to chapter 15. I am going to read from 51 to verse 58, which is the end of that chapter, but I really want to focus kind of on the last few verses. But I think it's important that we kind of look at some of the other things that are going to happen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to the pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment, and let's look at this verse. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us, that's believers, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go through Christ. That's the only way. So check your relationship with Jesus Christ. Make sure you're in good standing with Him. That is so important. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to repent of your sin. Verse 58 goes on to say this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this is the key passage I want to talk about this morning, about being steadfast in our faith and unmovable. When we look at what the psalmist wrote, he said we would be like a tree planted by living waters. If we understand the anatomy of a tree, how many of you have ever planted an acorn, so an oak tree? So what you do is you simply put this acorn into the ground, and eventually, and it takes a long time for an acorn tree, maybe this is a bad example, but it'll root down. It'll go deep down. And a healthy oak tree is not easily moved. And in fact, it's a hard wood, so it can withstand a lot. And that's kind of what we're being directed here. We need to be unmovable. We need to be steadfast. So how do we get to be in this unmovable situation? Well, let's go to the word just before it, and that's steadfast. So we need to be steadfast in digging into the word. And we will be then unmovable in our faith. We're going to be able to withstand these things that are happening around us and in the world. Be very careful of these false teachers, because there are many that are going to try to sway people. We need to really take time to meditate and consider and think and pray. Pray for strength and discernment, so that we can recognize the false teacher and we can accept the truth. Because when we look at false teachers, they are very, very subtle sometimes, aren't they? That the serpent was the most cunning, most subtle creature. And he beguiled and he tricked Eve, and Adam and Eve became sinful people. There was a decision that they made. They made a choice of disobedience. How many times do we do the very same thing? We look at some of the Old Testament history. We look at some of the Old Testament, I'll call them stories, but when you look at when Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they're going out and they've come to the mountain and Moses goes up into the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, how long did it take for the people to fall away from God? They were convinced by somebody in that group. Now, I forget the name, but they were convinced to build this golden calf and worship. Instead of worshiping God, they worshiped this golden calf. And what befell them? They were destroyed. It's like a cancer. I guess I have a bit of a question here. And maybe you've dealt with cancer. Maybe not you personally, but maybe you have. Maybe somebody in your family. But when you hear that word from a doctor, you have cancer, your spouse, your child, someone you love has cancer. If you've ever had that comment posed to you, you know the reaction. You know what that's like. And pretty much I would say it's probably terrifying to all of us, isn't it? And when we let sin come into our life, it's like a cancer. You let it in and it'll just manifest. In other words, it will grow if you don't do something about it. Take time to do something about it. This body that we live in is going to either perish or we will be raptured. But our eternal soul is one that is going to be either placed in hell for not believing in God, not following Him, or we are going to heaven. That decision is entirely up to you. And I'm hopeful and I trust that each of you today is here because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you love the Lord, and that you will be going to heaven. I want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Here is Peter in Luke chapter 9 at verse 18. Jesus is questioning Peter. And I love Peter's response here. So we'll begin at verse 18 of chapter 9. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, say the people that I am. So Jesus is posing this question to the disciples. They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So now he's asking them directly. And here's Peter's response. Peter answering said, the Christ of God. So at that moment, Peter absolutely, definitely recognizes who Jesus Christ is. And it goes on to say, and he straightly charged them, so this is Jesus again, and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes to be slain and be raised the third day. So Jesus gives them a command. And then we want to look at verse 23 till 26. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is a daily journey that we have with our Lord and Savior. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So I kind of want to key on verse 26, where it talks about being ashamed of the Son of Man. If we are not rooted and grounded in our faith, when we are challenged by the world and the God of the world, which is referred to as Satan, when we are challenged with that, are we going to deny Christ? So make sure that we are rooted and grounded in our faith. So when that moment happens, we will stand faithful and true to our Lord and Savior. I want to go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 6. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised up from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I think that's pretty clear. If we're going to deny Jesus Christ, he will deny us. And that's a place we don't want to go. So how do we stay faithful and firm and unmovable in our belief? It's all based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, you have been given the Holy Spirit to direct you to the truth. If you have trouble in your prayer life, you need to pray for wisdom and discernment. We need to get together as a body of believers to praise and worship God to strengthen us. This 1 hour that we have together is not sufficient for you. It is not sufficient for me. We need to get involved in Bible study and study God's word. We need to fellowship one with another. And we need to spend time in prayer. It is so important. When we look at the things that Paul went through in his lifetime, he was cast into prison, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he had all sorts of things happen in his life. He could have got up on the soapbox and he could have whined and complained, but he didn't. He kept moving forward because he was unmovable in his faith. And that's the type of people I want to encourage us to be. If you're not there yet, let's aim for that. Let's try to get there and get there as quickly as we can. And then we can go out and be good stewards of the word. And then God will give us that discernment that we need through the Holy Spirit and through reading the scriptures. So that is my encouragement for you this morning. Before we go over the second half of the service, I mentioned we're going to go into the Old Testament. And I want to go through the book of Daniel chapter 3. And I won't be reading all of the whole chapter, but most of it. And it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you talk about three guys that stood firm in their faith. Well, those three are a really good example for us. But before we go over to that, I want to give us all an opportunity for some time in prayer. And if you look at your bulletins, you'll see in the back that there's some prayer requests that need to be addressed. There's people that are in need of your prayers, so I would trust that you would do that. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
From the Blue Book, number 29, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Number 29, for those that are able, please stand.
My soul for its own, I have sung.
I want to thank you for that singing and playing and having prayed in the name of Jesus. You can be assured your prayers will have been heard. So let's turn to the book of Daniel chapter 3. It's kind of like we're going probably into one of the Sunday school lessons we probably all heard way back in the day. But there's a few key points that I would like to address this morning. So Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read till verse 3, and then we'll move on till verse 8. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So in my Bible here, there's a footnote that image was approximately 90 feet tall, so it's pretty high. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes of the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So try to picture this. Here's this image that they had made in one of the deserts or one of the plains, and now he gathers all the legalistical people. They're all gathered, okay, around, and they are going to pray to this image that has been made. Now we're going to fast forward here, go to verse 8. Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. I'll stop there. So back in those times when the king made a decree, according to their law, so when the king put his seal on when he put his seal on something, that meant it was so. That is how it's going to be. Okay? It was sealed. That every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. So here King Nebuchadnezzar pulls out his orchestra, and they're going to play. And whoso faileth, or whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So here we have some of these Chaldeans that go and tell the king, you got three guys who are not worshiping what you have commanded. You've told everybody in this nation, this is who you're going to worship. So these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not bow down to worship. Do you think they're unmovable in their faith? Let's read on. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. So Nebuchadnezzar is very, very angry. Then verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. So he's giving them a second chance, saying, if you do this now, okay, so what's going to happen? But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And now Nebuchadnezzar poses a question to them. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So King Nebuchadnezzar has exalted himself. The response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image thou hast set up. These guys did not hesitate to answer the king. They were not going to bow down to worship. They had their answer ready. They were firm in what they believed, and they were unmovable. And so they stood before the king and probably others and said, there is no way we are bowing down to any of these images of God, because they worship the true God. Now, let's go to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I just want to read a verse for us that I hope will help us so that we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, turn to verse 15, and we'll read three verses there, so 15, 16, and 17. It says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I kind of relate this to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were, in a moment, they were ready to answer. And even though King Nebuchadnezzar was very angry, in fact, he was full of rage, they did not back down. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that ye, whereas that ye, they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So here we're being told it is better for us if we suffer for the sake of Christ. So here we go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's ultimately the answer they gave, is we're ready to, whatever's going to happen, we're ready for it. So in verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. So I don't know what that looks like, but he was very, very angry. And the form of his visage, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, was changed. So his facial expression was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So in other words, they heated this stove up 7 times hotter than it usually is. And then look what happens. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. So now you have the biggest, baddest soldiers, I guess, that are going to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the fiery furnace. Now, I'm not sure what that looked like. It doesn't give us a number of these soldiers. So was it one for each of them? Very often when somebody is under a situation like that, sometimes we call it arrest or whatever, there's two people that will control you, one from each side. It doesn't say that that's what happened. But anyway, there's mighty men that are going to bring these guys to the fiery furnace. Verse 20, and he commanded, verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats. So this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they're thrown in, fully clothed. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame, the fire, slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So those soldiers, whoever and however many there were, they died. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What an experience for the king. So he sees something very unique, very special, and the way it's written here, it says, he responds by saying it's the form of the Son of God, the Son of God. And look what happens because of their faith to God. Look what happens with these three gentlemen. And I'm going to conclude with verses 26 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, it does not say here what happened to his appearance, what happened to his intensity of his anger. But he calls them out and he says, ye servants of the Most High God. Something has changed with King Nebuchadnezzar. So he cries out and he says, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fires had no power, nor was any hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. There was no evidence, no matter what the king wanted to do, there was no evidence that the fire had harmed them, not even a single hair. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and hath delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. These men were unmovable in their faith. They trusted God rather than fearing the fury of the king Nebuchadnezzar. God delivered these men and changed the whole ideology of what King Nebuchadnezzar stood for. Because it sums it up here when he says that there is no other God. And that's out of verse 29. So what a significant impact these three men had on that time in history. We are at the cusp of unbelievable difficulties and challenges in this world. And we need to be the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegos. We need to stand up for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful and true, and God will provide. God will provide. He has gifted you and I with the Holy Spirit to speak truth. Speak it, live it, and celebrate it. Don't back down. We are God's people, and we need to deliver God's message. So be those people. Let's all be those people that deliver the message of Jesus Christ. We need a Savior, and He, Jesus Christ, is the only Savior of mankind. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the historical facts in the Old Testament about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they lived for you, and how they served you, and how they honored you. Help us to become those people. We know that we have so many struggles and challenges in this world. There's so many different things going on. But you are an unchanging God. We thank you that you extend your grace and mercy upon us. We ask for a discernment and a willingness to be good stewards of your word, that we will go out and share the true gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost in this world. Let us also be an encouragement to each other, both here at church or in our communities, in our homes, wherever you lead us. Lord, we want to follow. And as we go out and we share the message of salvation and we teach the truth, may you open doors that only you can open and close doors that only you can close. May we be a faithful people, and may we be inspired to go out and teach the truth. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. So just a reminder, you not need to pray here in church alone, but you can pray day or night if you need. So again, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 64, Springs of Living Water. Number 64.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for the wonderful message, reminding us to remain steadfast in our faith. Just a couple announcements. The Easter program, the dates have been changed. For the practice, this is for the Sunday School Easter program. The practice will be April 5th at 7:30 p.m. And the Sunday School Easter program will be April 7th at 2:30 p.m. So some date changes there. And also just a reminder, the Passion Week is coming up. And also opportunities to serve. The Sunday School is still looking for some Sunday School teachers. So if you feel a nudge, go talk to the superintendents. They'd be happy to talk to you and explain to you what Sunday School is about. And we'd love to have you in Sunday School. And also today is the youth program, which is in Altona. And then the youth program starts at 3 o'clock, and everyone is welcome. And just going to the back of the bulletin, as was mentioned before, that we can pray. And I would encourage you to pray for all those that are mentioned here in the back of the bulletin, like Isaac Wall and this young boy, and Ben Giesbrecht and family, and the passing of Anna Giesbrecht. It was just last Sunday that there was a prayer request for her, and she's gone home to be with with the Lord Jesus, and just keep them in your prayers, and also pray for the ministerial, pray for the Sunday school, the teachers, the students, and leaders, and also pray for our government. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, and I would also say make sure you pray one for another. I'm sure there's maybe somebody that you're sitting beside, or maybe that someone is around you in some way, shape, or form. They need your prayer, so let's consider praying for them as well. As far as this morning's worship service, I've come to the conclusion. I want to thank you for coming this morning to listen to God's word and to sing his praises. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.